Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I am the host for this Sunday, March the 28th. And the sun has set, and God has blessed that we are entering to another day. So let us pray and thank the Lord for his blessing that he has bestowed on us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to thee, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we join on this prayer line, Father, we pray for your grace and your mercy to pour out upon us, Lord. As the song says, there shall be showers of blessings. Lord, allow your blessing to shower us on this day, Lord, with your word. So, Father, we pray, Father, for one another on this prayer line. And, Lord, that you would touch the heart of your children and that they may come and fellowship and praise you and sing and tell of your goodness, what you have done to keep them safe, to protect them, whether they had a happy Sabbath, whether everything was just a blessing. Because for me, Lord, I want to give you thanks because, Lord, you blessed me to allow me to be on this prayer line, and I am alive and well, and I'm able to speak on this prayer line. But I'm asking you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, lead and guide me tonight, Lord, that I may speak the words that Christ have given in his word. So, Father, I'm asking that you will continue to strengthen, lead, and guide us, and give us wisdom, Father, that we stand in need of. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and Lord, help us to forsake them and put all of it away, and that we would keep your commandments, and you say we should live and not die. So thank you, Father, for your blessings and for your promises that you've given to all. And we, in the name of our Savior, Yeshua, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining Every Enlightened Ministry. So I want to read tonight. We're going to just read from Matthew about like a grain of a mustard seed, Matthew's chapter 13. And I'm reading out of the Christ Object Lesson. So let me get Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Okay. And Father, Lord, we pray for this blessing, your word, Lord. You said the bread which came down from heaven, he said that we should eat of this bread. So Father, bless your word tonight. And Lord, we lift it up and we thank you for all these blessings that you've given to us. In the name of our Savior, Yeshua again, amen. I'm reading Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, and it's talking about the mustard seed. And it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becoming a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Amen. Amen. It's right there. So that mustard seed became so big, sisters and brothers, that the birds of the air lodged there. So that seed shows that our faith must grow, and we can grow and continue to grow as that mustard seed grew into a tree. So let us just give God thanks because for his provision. So we thank you for joining us again, and I will open the line for my brothers and sisters that you can share. Amen. The first line, we open it. Amen. Just give me a second. Give me just a second. The first line we will open, that press 1, my faithful sister, 518-650, your line is open. Amen.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for opening my line. Yes, I'm Sister Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, yes, in New York.
Amen.
If you're holy, then teach me how. Teach me how. I will do thy will, O Lord, not mine. Help me now. Holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, O Lord, just now. What is worldly pleasure, wealth, or fame without thee? Without thee, I will leave them all for thy dear name. This my wealth shall be. Holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, O Lord, just now. As I cast earth's transcendence joys behind, come down near, in thy presence all in all I find, 'tis my comfort here. Holy thine, this is my vow. Psalms 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hands. Heavenly Father, I will praise you with my whole heart. I will give you thanks. I will lift your name high. I will honor you. I will adore you. I will magnify you, and I will exalt you, because you is God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. Father, you have given us life. You woke us up this morning. We do our chores, and now we come sitting at your feet, O God, to give you thanks for the day. Thank you for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, for your love, for your guidance, for your protection, for all you have done for us. Lord, I put this prayer line into your hand, O God. I'm asking you to touch each and every family on this prayer line. Those who are taking part and those who are listening in the background, lay your hand upon them, O God, creating them a clean heart and renew a right spirit in all of us. Cast us not away from your presence, dear Father, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we need you. If there wasn't a time we need you now, God. We are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good, but, oh God, because of your love and your mercy, we are here to give you thanks and to give you praise. Father, as we stretch our hand to you, no other help we'd have, and no other help we know, God. If you will draw yourself from, we have nowhere to go and we have nowhere to turn. Oh God, you say in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that we must trust in you with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, O God. In all our ways, we must acknowledge you because you will direct our path. O God, be merciful unto us, Lord. Touch every member of our body. Heal every member of our body, O God. Touch, heal. Save us, O God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, Lord. Break us, melt us. Mold us, O God, and fill us. Spirit of the living God, take full control of us. Lead and guide and guard this line, Lord. Be with each and every one. Take full control. Be with our families.
Yes.
Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, O God, friends,
yes, Lord,
neighbors, co-workers, O God. Lord, I'm asking to go into each and every one of the hospitals all over the world in diverse places. Touch
yes,
these people,
Lord.
O God, and heal their body. Lord, be with the nurses, be with doctors, be with those who go to and fro. O Father, you see this virus. Oh, God, I'm asking you, dear God, to reach out and touch, dear God. There's nothing too hard for you. And whatever you do, it is well done. So, Lord, take full control, oh, God. Rebuke, remove, and destroy this virus and get it out of the way, dear God, so that your people can be in good health. To praise you, to magnify you, to exalt you, to lift you up and to give you thanks. Father, take full control this evening. Have your way, dear Lord. Let your will be done, I ask, and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bonnery. You know, as you were praying, my sister, God, for those blessing prayers that you lift up to people on this prayer line. Sister Bonnery, there's some that have not, you know, it's hard for them. They running to and fro and not really understanding the time we're living in. And they just don't take time to come to the prayer line to give God thanks and praise for what he's doing for them. You know, I just want to thank you for lifting up souls that need prayers. You know, there's so many that be on the line, they will not press one. You know, just to say, I need you to lift my family, lift my mother, my brother, or my child. You know, don't be ashamed. I don't know why people are ashamed of God. And they so shy, they don't say anything. But I pray for them that God would give them the courage to say, pray for my family. Because there's so many right now that's in need of something. They're in need of prayer. They're in need of something, sister. So thank you so much. God hears those prayers. The faithful prayers of mother. So thank you, Sister Bonnery, for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. The song, you praising your God and our God, he hears it all. So thank you so much. You're always on this line first. So I give God thanks. So I will read until others join in. And I want to thank Sister Bonnery for supporting the prayer line. When people hear your testimony, when they hear your prayers, now you may touch somebody's heart by testifying, by praying, and by singing, and all these things help others to give a share or to say something because you are being encouraged. So thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for everything that you do on this prayer line. And may God continually to bless you and your family. Amen. So
thank
we're going to read. You are welcome. You know, Sister Bonnery, I'm going to tell you something else about Sister Leola. Sister Leola always in my young life, I followed elderly. I always respect my elderly. I give God praise for my elderly. Because you know what? I showed my elderly love. And because I did that, God blessed me with some wisdom. And he gave me better understanding. And now, as I am getting older, you know, I just pray, do the same thing what you're doing. Because it's going to come a time I will be where you are. And I, by God's grace, I want to do the same thing you are doing. Praying for everyone, pray for others, the Lord, for what you are doing and being that example for me and others on the prayer line. You and Sister Powell, that's what y'all do. So thank God. I thank my Elohim. Elohim means God, means the only one God, because there's people called God. God, there's many gods out there, but that Elohim, it only speaks of the only creator, the only one who created heaven and earth and who had set aside his Sabbath. So I'm just praising him. And so I will read this in Christ Object Lesson. And I'm going to close your line, I know, because you, I'm going to close your line. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bonnery, again.
Welcome.
And it says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? In earthly government, there was nothing that could serve for a similitude. No civil society served for a similitude. No civil society could afford him as a symbol. It is like a grain of mustard seed, he said, which when it is shown sown upon the earth, though it be less than all the seeds that are upon the earth. Seeds that are upon the earth. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the prayer line. I was on the wrong line. Yet when it is sown, grow up and become greater than all the herbs, and put it out the great branches, so that the birds of the heaven can lodge under the shadow thereof. The germ and the seed grow by the unfolding of life principle, which God has implanted. It develops, depends upon no human power. So it is with the kingdom of Christ. It is a new creation. Its principle of development are the opposite of those that rule the kingdom of this world. Earthly government prevails by physical force. They maintain their dominion by war. But the founder of the new kingdom is the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit represents worldly kingdom under the symbol of fierce beasts of prey. Let me read that again. The Holy Spirit represents worldly kingdom under the symbol of fierce beasts of prey. But Christ is a Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. And that's John 1:29. In his plan of government, there is no employment of butte force of compare to the Jews looked for the kingdom of God to be established in the same way as the kingdom of the world. To promote righteousness, they resort to external measure. They devise methods and plans, but Christ implanted a principle. By implanted truth and righteousness, he counterworks error and sin. So as we see what Christ have done, he planted that seed just for us to see that this seed will grow and that it will produce. We supposed to have that faith. It's supposed to produce. And it's supposed to grow. It's not supposed to be stagnant. It's supposed to grow as day by day, as we grow. So by God's grace, he wants us to grow and learn more of him. And, okay, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to open the next line. So if we continue to follow Christ, we're going to grow until we get perfect in Christ. And that perfection is when he's going to come back and we're going to be ready for him. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go to the next caller, and I will open the line for 7505. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank God because God is good. He has glory to be praised, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother, Sister Miola. My mother needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. Lift my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for our brother too, Brother Jari. Lift up Brother Jari, Sister Miola, and he could preach the gospel message on this prayer line to Sister Miola. Sister Miola, let's pray for Brother Jari, and he could preach the gospel message on this haunted light mystery. Pray for him, Sister Miola, that God will make a way for him, that God will make a way for him, that he will be on this prayer line and he could preach the word of God on the prayer line. Pray for Brother Jari, pray for his staff, Sister Miola, pray for his house staff, pray for his manager. Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for his family. Pray for his family. Pray for his mother. Pray for his aunt. Pray for his brother and sister. Don't forget to pray for his grandmother in Georgia. His grandmother is in Georgia, Sister Miola. Her name is Sophia. Live with Sophia in prayer. Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Sister Tatiana. Pray for Sister Tatiana. Pray for Sister Monica. Pray for Brother Isma. Pray for Brother Nikki. Lift them up in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, tell everyone who is Jari is. Tell everyone on the prayer line who is Jari is, because Sister Miola, a young man, Sister Miola, he needs to baptize. Sister Miola, I don't know when he's gonna get baptized, Sister Miola, but God knows, Sister Miola, God will make him Seventh-day Adventist, Sister Miola. Pray for Brother Jari and he could baptize, Sister Miola. Pray for him, Sister Miola, and he should not be afraid, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, don't forget to read some 27, Sister Miola. You know, Psalms 27, it means, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord, he is good, Sister Miola. God is good. God is merciful. He's worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. Sister Miola will tell you who is Brother Jerry is, because Brother Jerry needs a lot of prayer, because Sister Miola, me and Sister Miola, brothers and sisters, me and Sister Miola was talking to Brother Jerry, and Sister Miola read John 3, I think. I don't know, but Sister Miola will pray. Amen, Sister Miola. Tell everyone, Sister Miola, John 1, because you shall not be troubled. Amen. Tell everyone who is.
Amen, amen. Amen, Brother Eli. Yes, we're going to... We read the scriptures to Brother Jahari, and Brother Jahari, he loves you, Brother Eli, but sometimes, you know, he's going to come on when God moves his heart, so just give him time, okay? Just go on, Brother Eli, you can finish.
Oh, yes, Sister Miola. Oh, yes, Sister Miola. God is good, Sister Miola. God is merciful. He's awesome. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. Because Sister Miola, you know, Sister Miola, the enemy is trying to attack him at the moment. The enemy is attacking Brother Jerry at this moment. But Sister Miola, let's pray for Brother Jerry hard, brothers and sisters.
Okay,
let's pray for him hard.
Let us open a prayer for him, and we're going to lift you up in a prayer also, and your mother. So let us do that, and amen. We're going to lift it. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you once again, Lord Father, Sister Barnaby have lift up this prayer line, Father, and dear Lord, we want to thank you for your servant, Lord. She prayed for each and everyone on this prayer line. And Lord, Brother Eli, come again with a request that we lift it up, Lord, to you, Father. The request to be made known, Lord, Father, that he's praying for Brother Jahari. He's praying for his mother. All these souls that he brings to you, Father, it's many. I can't call all names. He's praying for the house where Brother Jahari lives. Lord, we lift these prayers up to you. Father, we ask that as our Savior is in the most holy place, Lord, says, it's my blood for these that I have, that you have given to me. And I lift them up and I give them to you, Father, to cleanse them, to strengthen them and to help them to overcome this world, this sins, and all these things that so easily beset us. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you touch Brother Eli's heart, Lord. Lord, a servant that loves to bring prayer requests to you and love to bring the brothers and sisters and lift them up and want to know why, Lord, why the youth is not on the prayer line. Heavenly Father, you see all these things that about the youth. You see about the adult. You see everything, Father. You even see me, Lord. Lord, Father, forgive me, Father, of my sins. Lord, that my prayers be not hindered. Oh, Father, as we come to you, Lord, in prayer, we ask you, Father, to look in our heart and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Father, we ask him that you continue to give Brother Eli that strength. Continue to work on the things, Lord, to show him, Father. And, Lord, and as you are working with your child, Lord, Father, I'm asking that you, everything that he prayed for, Lord, Father, let him come to you in prayer and let him tell you, Lord, Father, all these things because, Father, you're the one that that hear and answer according to your will. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, as we just lift up our brothers and sisters on this prayer line. Lord, help them to know that God is willing for us to come to him and to tell him our problems and to give him all our burdens. And, Father, he is able to bear it. So, Father, we thank you right now for your goodness, for your mercy, all your long-suffering. You've been patient with us, Lord. So, Lord, that time going to end. So help your children. Help your children to receive the goodness, the promises of God. So we thank you right now, Father. Lord, as I lift up Sister Barnaby to you, Father, Lord, a mother, a Lord, a friend, a prayer on this prayer line for the people on the line, Lord. Father, give us strength, Lord, and bless her, Father, and allow her to come on here to be that example, Lord, Father. And, Lord, as you strengthen her, Lord, Father, she are praying here for these young people. She are praying for the sick. She are praying for this coronavirus to be taken away out of this world. And, Lord, and you give peace and you give harmony with the people, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Now, Lord, as we continue on the prayer line, Father, we ask that you touch the brothers and sister heart and, Lord, allow them to see what you are doing in the most holy place for in their behalf. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father, and your son, Yeshua's name, Lord, as we continue to listen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as we are on this line, lifting up one another, asking the Lord for you. Now, Lord, we ask for them to press one and share. And we know God is able, sisters and brothers. So as you can share, we are asking that you can give a testimony. You can share what God has did for you. And, you know, all glory goes to God. It is nothing on this prayer line. We are mere finite beings, and ain't nothing we've done good. So I just want to thank God for his goodness and what he has done for us. You know, sisters and brothers, I look at my life when I wake up in the morning, and like, Lord, Father, you're good. You're good to us to wake us up, give us another day. He has blessed me with 60 years. Lord, thank you, Father. So, sisters and brothers, what have God done for you that you can give him praise? But we have another one that pressed one, so we're going to open the line. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing. So opening your line, may God continue to bless you. Amen?
Yes, praise the Lord. Thank you for opening up my line. Sister Leola, this is Sister Carla calling from Tennessee. As I'm here just listening and just relaxing after working in the garden, well, actually clearing and, you know, doing some something with the soil because it was, as most of everyone knows, it's been raining. Other parts of Virginia, I believe it was Alabama, Georgia, they had tornado, but by God's grace, I was okay. over this side, it was just a lot of rain. So as I was, you know, doing that and just, you know, contemplating God's goodness and thanking him for his blessing, his mercy and his love. And I went to visit the neighbor, you know, I was just talking to them and, you know, just neighborly love, went to visit them, see how the wife is doing. She had a stroke, I think last year, November, December. And as her husband was like, you know, you're working hard, you know, he said, you need to do it the smart way. You know, you need a husband so he can work with you. And I just laughed. I was like, wow. I said, yeah, God will provide. He said, you need to find one. I said, God will provide whatever he has for me in his own time, and he will provide. So I just thank the Lord. Sometimes our friends and, you know, family give us advice, you know, good advice, but we have to trust God. We have to wait upon God and trust him in every decision we make, everything we do. You know, this working hard is for me, you know, it's a teaching moment for me, and it's teaching me to depend upon God and asking, as I ask God for strength, he's given it to me. And now, you know, I'm asking him to help me to spend more time with him and not so busy working, you know, my job that I work with the client, but to help me to spend more time with him. As yesterday I was went to the church. They were talking about the tarrying time and, you know, the preparation that the heart needs to make, and also about the chart, you know, about the disappointment and over so many Adventists that had started out when the great disappointment, only 50 left, and there was a shaking, and it'll be like that in our time. But we need to study to show ourselves approved so that we will be amongst 144,000. And I just want to read Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll start at verse 1 for context. Right? And it says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statute and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God Father giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal the poor, for all the men that follow Baal the poor, the Lord God had destroyed them from amongst you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statute and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who had God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? So it shows me here that, you know, talking about Israel, the Israelite, the people were a nation, and we are spiritual Israelites, so we are a nation, and we are not of this world. We're representing God here on this earth, and we are his nation. We are his peculiar people. And he said, we should trust in his judgment, his statute, and keep his commandment and cleave, as, you know, I remember as the verse says, two shall become one and they shall cleave unto each other. Just like that, we have to cleave unto the Lord our God, and so that we can live and not follow after Satan and follow after Balaam, because those that follow after him, God will destroy. So let us be faithful, brothers and sisters, and let us keep the Lord's commandment and not diminish from them and continue steadfast in the right way. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line.
Amen. Sister Carla, I want to thank you for reading that because, you know, my sister, many people don't understand when God say keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment. They don't understand. A lot of people believe that done away with. But let me read a few statutes that God has said that if the commandment sums up the statutes, but if you do away with the statutes, you're going to do away with this law. This is a statute. It says, and if you read Deuteronomy chapter 25, it says, let me get it for you. This is the statute, which Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 25. And if we don't teach these things to our children going to be making these mistakes. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 3. It says, 25 verse 3, for 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceeding less. If he should exceed, the beat him above these with many stripes. Wait a minute, I may be reading the wrong one. Let me make sure. Oh, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong thing. This is beating. I'm sorry, beating stripes. Okay. I'm looking for the one that's talk about bestiality. Exodus. Leviticus 18. I'm sorry. Wrong one I'm reading. Let me get to it. I'm looking for it right now. These things are real, what we're supposed to be teaching our children, because if we don't teach them, they will not know. 18, 23, 20. I have to find these scriptures. 22. Well, Sister Cole, I'm going to have to find it later because my scriptures is not pointing me to, but I know it's in here. So I'm going to have to find it later. Leviticus 19. Okay, let me see Leviticus 19 and 19. It says, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with the diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow the field with mingling seed. Neither shall the garment mingle the linen with the woolen come upon thee. So this is another statute. It's telling interbreeding. We're not supposed to interbreed animals. We're not supposed to interbreed mixed seeds. Like we're not supposed to mix orange with another different seeds. The Bible tells us we're not supposed to do that. But if we don't learn these things from the Old Testament, we'll never know God's word. So we want to begin to read and study God's word, like the Bible says. But we're going to move forward, and I'll get those other. And I'll have it next time because I have to look for those scriptures. But let's continue. But thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that scripture that, you know, we have to keep God's commandments. And it says his statutes and judgment. If the Bible says it, what are we to do? We ought to do what the Bible says. So also, I want to continue to read. And let me see if there's anybody else that I've joined in. Amen, so I could open their line. Yes, I'm sorry. We have someone else that have joined in. So thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing and also for reading that scripture. and we're going to open the next line so that person can share. Amen. 985-232, your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I would like to thank God for many, many blessings and waking us up, watching over us, and just thanking for his love, and just thanking for just being our keeper. I would like to read a prayer. Lord, precious in your sight is the death of your saints, and yet you allow persecution against your people whom you love all over the world. The persecution, sin, and violence their own conscience, but you use persecution to spread the faith as powerful testimony for your emerge in its midst. We pray for the persecute church, and yet praise you for what you are doing through even that. Amen. I want to thank God for his words so we can continue to have something to grow on, and because without this, we would never have nothing to grow on and nothing to communicate with and fellowship with. So I just thank God for all his love, and especially giving his only begotten son so that we can have life. And we just want to ask for prayers for my family and for the Advent Life Church, for all the brothers and sisters, the Advent they got going on, for their ministry to go strong, for their all the families, and for the sick, the homeless, and all the other situations, crisis going on. We just want to keep everyone in prayer. Let's ask God to just give them the strength and help everybody go strong in the Lord as we continue to pray. And we just want to continue praying one for another. May God bless y'all. Amen.
Yes, I can say hello. This is John from Houma, Louisiana. And I just want to say thank God for blessing us and watching over us. And I just want to say it's something how we go through things, but look like we go through things that makes us wiser, though. You know, God, and it's where we go through things, but it surely makes us wiser. Like hard times, after that, we thank God, you know, just more and more. Like I came to near-death experience, and look like after that I started seeing life totally different. You know, and it's like the darker life gets sometimes, is the more my eyes open up and the more a lot of people's eyes open up from it. And you could tell when somebody had been through something because, you know, a lot of people praise God and they thank God, but I know for sure people that have been through things, for sure praise him because you can see them just, it'd be, you know, some people praise him for big things he's done, but when you go through a life experience and certain things, you can tell because most people are praising for little things, you know, like or you hear somebody say, wow, that sun looks so bright today. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, look at them birds, how pretty. I never really noticed how pretty those birds are until now. then you kind of catch on, wait a minute, this person probably been through a lot, because you even learn to appreciate more when you've been through some hard times, you know. It's just the little simple things you pay so much attention to after, and that's what it is with me too. And I just want to say that I just thank God and to be alive. And like I say, in the day I have to leave this earth, I'm striving and I'm want to keep it growing. And I don't know if I'm not striving for perfect, but I know I'm just trying my best to keep getting better and better. I mean, or should I say I'm striving? I don't believe I can be perfect, but I know I can keep striving to get better and better. So I'll just leave it at the way I put it at first. So that's my thing. And my destination when I leave this earth is heaven. That's my destination. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for coming on and sharing with us tonight. And I know that God has truly blessed Brother John, and we are seeing the fruits of the work which the Lord have changed, made a change in his life. So truly, God is working with people if the brother and sister allow him to work, because God is not going to. And I had to realize that for my own son. You know, I can't make him do anything. All I can do is pray for him. And now I see that through Brother John. He wanted to change. He asked God to help him. And those changes are coming about. So I just give God praise for those testimonies that are on this prayer line. And I'm grateful to say that my sister and my brother-in-law is here on the prayer line, faithful, and they've been here ever since. So I just want to thank God for that. And y'all continue to be here as God will bless, because it's soon and very soon. Don't give up, Brother John. Don't give up, Sister Brenda, because I'm telling you, the soon as you see, the devil wants you to quit, and as soon as you give up, guess what? It could be your time. So don't give up. You stay faithful and keep your love in the hands of the Lord, because he is in your safety. He is your safety. So we just thank God for that. So brothers and sisters, if there's anyone else like to share, we ask that you press 1 and your line can be open. So Sister Carla, I have the scripture, because these scripture, what you just read, many of these scriptures was given to Moses, and Moses, God, the Father have given his servant his word, and we should keep his word according to his will. And this is what I'm reading. It was in Exodus chapter 22, and I'm going to read, the law regarding the miscellaneous sins, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's what they was talking about. When the Lord had told Samuel, and Samuel was supposed to have killed the witch, but that's what he had told Samuel. But right under there, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Now, it is a sin to lie with a beast, but God, he don't put us to death, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, we don't be put to death like they did in that time, but still it's a sin, if you all agree with that. All these things, God said that we should be obedient to his law. The Ten Commandments don't give us the broad look at everything, but his statutes and his judgment give us the broad. Because I was looking at another verse. I've been studying this thing because I'm saying, like, God, so many people are not being taught. You know, and don't you know there is 37 states in the United States is practicing beast land with the beast? How cruel is that? 37 states. And how many people do you hear preaching it or teaching people that is not of God? I hear nobody teaching it. And we have people doing things that's not of God. God say they're going to be punished because they have not taught his people the word. So, and then we have I'm just giving you some that people can, it can register with you for today. He said, thou shalt not lay with your kin people. That's in the word, but does it, but it doesn't specifically say it in the commandments. You shouldn't lay with your kin. So these things that God is telling us, we have to teach it to our children as we're growing up. That is your sister. You're not supposed to touch your sister any kind of way, your niece, your cousin. You're not supposed to do those things in the word of God. Because if we don't, people get misunderstood by these things. And everything goes today because you know why? Nobody teaching God's word. Everything, even some of the church members saying, is done away with. It's done away with at Christ's resurrection. I mean, at Christ's death. Oh, that was done away with. We have to be careful. We have to be careful to do away with things that Christ said, that look at your children today. Look at the people today. People are practicing all kinds of devilish, all kind of evil things, and they don't know. They don't know that God said don't do it. A lot of people are not responsible because God said he winks at their ignorance because they have not been taught. And can we? And we're supposed to be going out there teaching the people. Oh, have mercy. Let us pray. Let us pray. We have to pray, brothers and sisters, because when God, how can I be afraid to speak this when it's in the Bible? How can we be afraid? We have heard somebody was it was on the news that this woman had slept with an animal. So if people are not hearing this, where are they going to get it from? How are they going to know? Yes, we are to teach people about the commandments, the Sabbath, and all the other commandments. Okay, let's break down the commandment. If the Bible says in God's word, and okay, let's go to Exodus. The Bible tells us, okay, love God with all thine heart. Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We know that one. No gods. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's number two. Thou shalt not bow thou thyself to nobody to serve them or anything. That's number three. And number four is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay, when we read all these commandments, we're going to read number six. Number five says, honor thy father and thy mother. Number six says, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Tell me anywhere in here that you understood what I just explained about bestiality or your kin people. So many brothers and sisters that we should be telling people time have come down from long time and people don't know. Let me show you another law under this statutes. Okay, I just mentioned interbreeding. You know what interbreeding is, huh? You shouldn't be mixing kinds of seeds. We don't eat of these things or take seeds out. No. And he talks about polygamy. Do we see that? Polygamy, the multiple marriage. Do we see how the Ten Commandments break that down? The Ten Commandments don't break everything down. It tells you, you shouldn't have a slave. You shouldn't. Hold on. Let me go some of just a few, because when we are just casting these things from out of our life, then we have a whole We have a whole world of people are just doing all kind of sin. You shouldn't be selling your brother land for more than what it's worth, or you shouldn't be trying to beat them beat them out money. We should be teaching, telling these children, because the children don't know. Sexual crime. You shouldn't be out there doing that, what they call how people are sex trading children. It's not in there, but it's in God's word. And when I saw this in the word, I was stunned. I said, oh, my goodness. And then I realized, how do you think the land of the living, the land of the living got the laws out of the Old Testament? So if the land of the living can pull laws out of the Old Testament, and we are supposed to be preaching it, oh, brothers and sisters, let us pray. Let us pray, because by God's grace, we really, amen? So we're going to go into prayer, because sincerely, we need to pray, because we have family members. We have so many members in this world has been molested by their own family. How much we have in the world of this? And why it's not taught out of the Bible? You know why? Because they done away with everything. We need to pray. So let us pray. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask Sister Carla if she have time to pray. Amen. Let me open Sister Carla line, because Brother Akeem will join us. Let me make sure. Amen. Sister Carla, I will open your line again to see if you can offer a prayer for, let me ask you, offer a prayer, Sister Carla, that God have given us a word to teach and to preach and to tell others. But you know what? People are not teaching the word. And that's why we are so lost in the, because we have not gotten what we need, because they holding back from us. But we must tell the children and help the children, because God is coming soon. And he said, preach his gospel. Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy. So pray for the prayer line. Lift up the prayer line. Lift up neighbors and friends and family, so we can understand when Moses gave these statutes and these judgments, these things were supposed to be taught. And as Deuteronomy says, Sister Carla, let me just read that to you just right quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse. I'm not going to read but a few verses. Okay. He said, these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land wherever you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. He said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God your thy father had promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, for they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes, So, Sister Carla, please pray and offer that to the Lord, and I will offer a prayer also. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, O Father, sins that we have committed knowingly and unknowingly, Lord. We ask that you will continue to guide us, Father. You are soon to come, O Father, and the spring is about to come, Lord, and your people are not sealed. Your people are not saved. Your people are out there, O Father, in the world, wandering about, O Father, like they don't have a Savior who's mightily,
yes, Lord Jesus,
to act on their behalf and to guide them and save them, Lord. Please bless us, Lord. Please help us to give the word in due season, O Father, line upon line, precept upon precept, hear a little, dare a little. Those that read it, may they run, O Father, meaning search the scriptures,
yes,
O Father, so that they can find the truth, O Lord. Help your people, O Father, to teach the world, to teach those that they come in contact with, neighbors, friends, associate, whoever they come in contact with, to share the gospel with them, O Father, and not be ashamed, Lord.
Yes,
bless each and everyone on the prayer line, Lord. You know the prayer requests that have went forth. You know the unspoken prayer requests, O Father. You know what's going on in this land, O Father, that you have already provided for us. If we would just ask, O Father, if we would just seek, if we would just
yes,
look, we shall live, O Father. Help us to lift you up. You said, if
Lord,
I be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Lord, have mercy upon us, O Father, in the name of Jesus. May we put our trust in you and in no other else, O Father. May we call upon you, Lord. May we repent, O Father, of our backwards way, O Father, that these plagues
yes,
will not fall upon us when they are fallen, Father, when you are will let loose the wind, O Father. Help us, O Father, to have a right relationship with you and with others, O Lord. Please
yes,
bless
Lord,
us, O Lord. You heard the prayer requests of Cecilia Leola put forth, O Father. Even before she put those forth, Lord, you have already answered them, O Father. And we're touching and agreeing, O Father, and we're thanking you for answering prayer, Father. We're thanking you for saving us, O Father, despite of our sinful way. Turn us away from our wicked ways. Turn us away, O Father, from our backbiting, gossiping, murmuring, O Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes, yes,
be
Lord,
with you, oh, Father. Be with the families, O Father. Be with the children, O Lord. Touch them right now, Lord, so that the parents shall guide them and teach them of your statute and your laws, O Father, your commandments, so that they can hide it in their hearts and not forget about you, O Father. We thank you, Lord, and we glorify, we magnify your name. May you bless the speaker in a marked way, O Father. May you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. May you teach him and guide him continuously, O Father, so that he can prosper in all his ways according to your will, Lord. Bless us, Lord.
Yes,
strengthen us, Lord. Guide us, O Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Sister Carla. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying for us. And give me just a second. Let me check to see if Brother Akeem is on. He have not. Oh, yes, he's on. So let me just offer the last prayer, my sister. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, as Sister Carla have lifted prayers up to you, Father. Lord, seeing that your word, Lord, is here, Lord Father, and your word, Lord Father, have to be taught to each and every soul, Lord Father. It may not be in her house. It may not be in your house, Lord Father, that these sins are following, but Lord, is in somebody's house, Lord. And Lord Father, you say, preach this word in season and out of season, and that your people may turn from their wicked ways, Lord, and may humble themselves and seek you, Father, and they would be delivered, Father. Oh, Father, right now, Lord Father, we ask that you touch your people's heart, Lord Father, in this world, Lord Father, and we ask that you separate them and may they come to you, Lord, to serve you in truth and righteousness, Lord. And dear Lord, we lift up Brother Akeem to you right now, Lord. He has joined us, and Father, we lift up him that he can bring the word to us, Lord, and that that the word of God may fall upon our heart, Lord, and that we may gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding and heed, Lord, to follow you. Oh, Father, thank you right now for your blessing, for your word, Lord. So we ask that you strengthen us tonight and strengthen Brother Akeem that he can preach, Lord, and everybody would understand. And, Lord, you can help us. And, Lord, you can lead and guide us in this world that we can keep your word, Father. So continue to bless Brother Akeem. Strengthen him, lead and guide him, Father. In the name of our Savior, Yeshua, we do pray. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. I'm going to open the line. Thank you, Sister Carla. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient. I'm going to open the line for Brother Akeem. And Brother Akeem, your line is open.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And I'm glad to be back again, once again, this Sunday. And I pray that as we study God's word together, that our minds might be invigorated, strengthened, and that it might truly be drawn out to God, especially in light of what we learn in Bible prophecy as it pertains to the history that took place or transpired during the Protestant Reformation. That history was also repeated again, and we're going to look at how it was repeated again, and then also how it will be repeated again. It's three times. It happened during the Protestant Reformation. The next verse we're going to read, which is Daniel chapter 11 and verse 34. And also it happened after, following the Protestant Reformation. And then also it will happen again at the end of time. So as we study this, let's just have a word of prayer that our minds might be strengthened. Father, strengthen our minds and our hearts as we study your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 34. Remember, the time period that we're talking about here is none other than the 1,260-year period. We read in Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. In other words, God would raise up people during the time of papal supremacy to bring before the people the light of truth that had been taken away from them as it concerns the Word of God. But there were men who studied the Word of God, had the Word of God in their grasp, and they studied it and began to go forth teaching the people. Not just men, but groups, right? We talked about the Waldensians, the Albigenses, the Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, and many others that stood for the truth at that time. And friends, as they stood for that truth, the Bible says, yet they shall fall by the sword. The sword meaning, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the sword of the civil power. Many of the people that stood for the truths of the Word of God, drawing what was called at the end of Daniel chapter 33 and Daniel 11 verse 33, the end of that verse says this would happen for many days. And the many days here is in reference to the 1,260-year period. And so it's talking about days of years. What will happen during those days of years, spanning from 538 A.D., all the way to 1798 A.D., what would transpire? What would transpire is this, is that God would raise up people that were studying the Word of God. And those people and individuals who were studying the Word of God, they would be raised up by God to instruct other people, to instruct the common people within Europe at that time. And as they instructed them, many of them suffered a martyr's death. They were killed, they fell by the sword, by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. And we know that this is exactly what happened, right? They were persecuted by the civil power of the sword. They were burned at the stake, the flame, and they were also put into captivity and by spoil many days. And so as this took place during the 1,260-year period, we continue here and we realize it says in verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. So this is very interesting. What we're seeing here, another way of putting it is, you could say it this way, right? Basically, the idea is, you could say it another way, that yes, many shall fall. Now, when they shall fall, it said a little bit of aid, a little bit of help. That word hopen actually means help. So they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. So notice, there's a plethora of ways in which people fall during this time period of the 1,260 years from the truth. How do they fall from the truth? One is they fall by death. They fall by the flame. They fall by persecution from the civil power. That is, they fall into death. But there's another way that many fall, and that is through flatteries. Hence it says, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Right? So when it says they shall be hoping with a little help, how were they helped during this time? It's very interesting. This is how they were helped. And the first part of this text is too much like Revelation chapter 12 and verse 16, and that's what we're going to look at in a little bit, to escape notice. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The solitary regions of the earth often served as a safe retreat for the fury of Rome, and we covered that before. Later, some of the German princes rallied to the cause of the reformers, and also America became a new home for the oppressed of Europe. Here, they founded a government without a king and a church without a pope. So in other words, friends, there were three major ways in which help came to God's people during this time. One was the solitary places of the earth, the places that were the least populated, and that was the mountains. Many of them fled to the mountains in order to protect themselves. People like the Waldensians, these people lived in the mountains, and they were able to find fortresses in the mountains to protect themselves. Now, not only that, it says here later on another parallel king, because at the latter edge of the 1,260 year period, coming up to the 1600s and the 1700s, you remember a new experiment began. You can do the historical research on this, but what took place was that while the papal system was the church using the state to advance its dogmas, its teachings, and forcing them upon the masses of Europe, of Western Europe, friends, the same thing happened at the latter end of the 1,260 year period, so much so that this is what took place in the aspects of England and also Great Britain. James I, he actually, what he did was he began, or he believed in what was called royal absolutism, which is that no one could question the king. The king was not only just the highest authority, but it was a high authority without checks and balances, right? So his power could not be stayed. It could not be challenged. And so he ruled an absolute rule. Now, in light of that, there was a major church in England called the Church of England. And the Church of England was almost an inverted form, a twisted form of how the papal system ruled. So while the papal system was the church working through the state to advance its agenda and dogmas upon the people, the Church of England was the opposite. While it claimed to be a Protestant church, it had in itself a Catholic structure. The way that it was set up was Catholic in its operations. And not just that. Do you know who was over the Church of England? The Church of England that had massive influence, The one who was over it was the King, King James the First, King James the First. And friends, what he did was an upside-down version of what the papal system did. The papal system was the church. It was over the state, using the state to advance its dogmas. However, on the other hand, what happened with the Church of England was the opposite. The king, the civil authority, was over the church, and he had authority in both civil and religious matters. So he had so much power that people, Christians in that time, were seeing the corruption that was resulting. Not only that, but there was beginning to be an obstruction of liberty in a religious sense. And so the corruption began to be so widespread that there was a group that was forming known as the Separatist Church. And so what they did was they began to come away from the Church of England. They had their own movement seeking to escape the corruptions that were existing in the church as a result of having the king ruling over it and advancing his agenda through the religious aspects of the church. They said, we are not going to do that anymore. We're not going to stay in this land filled with such corruption to where we cannot advance the cause of Christ freely and where we cannot, where we're continually challenged and our voices are suppressed. So what they did was began what was called the New Experiment, or later it will be called the American Experiment. What they did was they gathered together, all of them Christians, of the Separatist Church, right? And along with them, the entrepreneurs who were also Christian of England, they united with this movement, and they gathered together and got on a ship by the name of the Mayflower, and they came to the Americas. As they landed, friends, as they landed, what they did was they came forth on the land to now start off a new experiment, the American experiment, which was to have a governmental system without a king because they were fleeing from that corruption and suppression, and a church without a pope, right? Because they saw the results of the influence at one point of the papal system upon all of Europe. And so as they came here in the 1600s, 1620 to be exact, they were beginning this new experiment. Now, friends, this is very interesting because this is what Revelation chapter 12 is pointing out. So if you have your Bibles with me, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And this is exactly what Revelation chapter 12 is referencing. It says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14, look at the timeline, look at the sequence. It says, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished, here it is, for time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's speaking of the 1,260-year period, time being a year, that's 360 days, times being 2 years, a symbol of 2 years in the Jewish system and calendar, and that's 720 days, and then half a time, that's 180 days. Altogether, that's 1,260 days. But we are dealing with a time prophecy here. Hence, it's not days, it's days of years. So it's 1,260 years. We're talking about the Dark Ages. Now, notice what happens as time goes on. It says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her, that is the devil, through the flood waters, might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But just as God promised to Israel of old, friends, promise still stood for Israel in the New Testament. What is the promise? Hold your fingers there. Hold your fingers there in Revelation chapter 12, and I want you to go to Isaiah. This is a promise that we can even claim for ourselves. This is found in Isaiah chapter 43, and this is the promise. This is a promise that I claim over my life ever so often. This is powerful. This is what it says here. Isaiah chapter 43 verses 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, speaking, and he that formed thee, O Israel, speaking of God's people, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now notice this. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, what shall they not do? They shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So now what happened? The devil in Revelation chapter 12 sent the floodwaters to Israel again. But this was to Israel in the wilderness. God's people, the faithful, during the 1,260-year period. The devil sent out the floodwaters against him. And what do waters represent? It says in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, which is speaking of the papal system, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So when we go back to Revelation chapter 12, and it says in verse 15, and the serpent, which according to verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12, is the devil, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that is the church, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What is that flood then? Flood of water. It's a flood of peoples, multitudes, nations, languages that would be against God's people. And friends, did this happen during the Dark Ages? And all the way up to the ending of the Dark Ages? Indeed it did. Indeed it did. There was a persecution of like floodwaters that came against the Protestant reformers, that came against those who received their messages, that came against all who would stand for the word of God. Of floodwaters, all the nations in Europe, the peoples of Europe, that obeyed the dogmas of the papal system came against the people of God to the point that their only safety was not just the wilderness, which is a symbol of secrecy, hiding out, hiding away from the persecution, but also it says a flood came after the woman. Now notice what happens when this flood of persecution from people come after the woman. It says in verse 16, and the earth, what is it? Helped the woman. We're seeing God's people being helped again. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Meaning then, similar to the wilderness, this woman, the church, after or coming to the end of the time, times and a half a time, the 1,260-year period, what would happen? The church would flee to a very scarcely populated region, almost uninhabited. And friends, you know that's interesting, because when persecution started rising up against the separatist church and also against others that were seeking to stand for religious liberty, do you know what happened? They all left that place. Some of them at the cost of their lives, they left that place where they were being persecuted in Europe, and they fled to the Americas. The earth, symbolized under the symbol of the earth. As they came here, fleeing religious persecution and civil persecution, friends, they found a place where they can have liberty, where they can set up a governmental system without a king, and also set up a church system without a pope. Sadly, we know that, as it says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, about this group that started off to seek to make the United States more of a civilized nation, that those same people, those same pilgrims that fled persecution, they themselves became persecutors. They came here seeking liberty, while at the same time, within a few years, they would begin the process of enslaving the souls of men, and they would begin the process of persecuting the very Native Americans that taught them how to yield from the land. And so this was the hypocrisy. They were fleeing persecution. God led them here away from persecution, but they began to believe what was called a manifest destiny. And that is that God led us here to conquer all of these people, to conquer these Native Americans, to conquer and to raise up the nation economically through enslaving men and women of color. And as this happened, friends, they began to do the very thing that they were fleeing from. So it's almost like Friedrich Nietzsche, I think it was he who said it, a vile man. But he makes a major point, and he said, be careful that in fleeing from the monster, you yourself become a monster. And that's what happened, friends, to the Pilgrim forefathers. It was to the point that by the time the Millerite movement rose up, and by the time our church began to be organized in the 1860s and officially was recognized as the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1863, friends, by the time the Millerite movement rose up, the Millerite movement, this is one of the reasons why the Millerite movement was so active in speaking out and seeking to influence the nation against the souls of men being enslaved, against persecution of the Native Americans, because it's wild, it's very crazy, friends. The majority of the churches that began to be set up and raised up as a result of the Pilgrim forefathers coming here, churches began to be raised up and it began to spread to the point that the Americas were beginning to be filled with churches all over. Do you know what the weird thing about those churches were? The weird thing about those churches was that almost all of them, hence the reason why Charles Fitch, one of the major pioneers of the Millerite movement, called the churches of the United States, he called them Babylon. It was for two reasons. One reason was that, here it is, one reason was that they were doctrinally in error because they were rejecting the message of the soon second coming of Jesus Christ. But there was another reason that is not usually highlighted as to the reason why the Millerite movement and Charles, beginning with Charles Fitch, began to recognize in the churches of America fallen Babylon. The second reason was because they all approved of harboring the souls of men as slaves. They all approved of slavery. Rather than standing against it, almost all of the churches in the United States approved, except for those churches in the North. And so this is what was happening, friends. The very people claiming to flee religious persecution, just a few, this was in the 1800s, just a century, a little over a century before, who came here and fled persecution, fled oppression religiously and civilly. They then came here, and within a century, they were imitating the monster that they fled from. And so hence, this is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church was born officially. Crazy enough, it was born in the 1860s, in 1863. During the time, here it is, of the Civil War. It's almost like God was saying, I'm going to raise up a movement that will seek to be the epitome of freedom, right in the midst of a crisis over freedom. Right in the midst of a war over freedom, I am going to raise up a movement that is to declare freedom to the captives, both spiritually and physically, to stand for their fellow man. So this is why this is so important, because these people were fleeing, friends. They get this, they were fleeing. They knew that their spiritual ancestors were dying at the stake from the flame. Property was being confiscated throughout the 1,260 years. Now at the end of it, they're about to begin a new experiment. But friends, as they began this new experiment, they began to imitate the very dragon. They began to imitate, get this, the papal system that they were fleeing from. Friends, they began to suppress and oppress. So this is why this is very important. The earth helped the woman. She found freedom. But then that very woman, God had to pull a remnant out of her, stand for the fullness of the truth, both religiously and civilly. So this is a powerful thing, friends. This is why it is no coincidence that the Seventh-day Adventist Church rose up, drawing, or I should say the Seventh-day Adventist Church was officially recognized as such in the very heart, at the very heart of the Civil War. It's almost like God was raising up a movement to counteract the spirit of slavery, which was alive at that time, and Ellen White says would live on even after the Civil War. James White actually mentioned that as well. And so this is very powerful as we're looking over this history. So as we're seeing this, we're seeing, wow. So during the Dark Ages, the Waldenses, they fled to the mountains, and many others fled to the mountains, and they were helped, right? Hence it says, what does it say in Daniel chapter 11? It says, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, meaning they shall be helped with a little help. How were they helped? One was through fleeing to solitary regions, such as the mountains. Two, also what would happen was the German princes rallied to the cause of the reformers. So hence, in them not siding with the Pope, but connecting to each other, coming together to stand for the Protestant Reformation, the Protestant Reformation was able to go on more and have more influence. But then one of the last ways was that America would become the new home for the oppressed in Europe. And so they would flee here, and the new American experiment would begin. They would flee to a place that, compared to Western Europe, was almost uninhabited, whereas Western Europe had tens of thousands, almost in the 70s and over, in the millions, not tens of thousands, what am I saying? Though it had double digits in the millions, over 80 million, have many people in Western Europe. As you come to the Americas, it only had 5 to 15, it is estimated, Native Americans, right, indigenous peoples. And so as that happened, friends, it was scarcely populated. And that was, when those peoples, those groups, only existed in certain regions of the U.S., or what was called at that time the Americas. And so as this happened, they came, they learned from these people how to till the land, and they began to reap the benefits from the land. So they fled to a place that was almost uninhabited. You can't say it was without people, for it had people here, but it was scarcely populated in comparison to Western Europe. And so as that happened, we see that the earth held the woman. So there's always been a tendency of God's people to hide out in places, fleeing from persecution. And by the way, it's very interesting, because this is going to happen, by the way, at the end of time. This is why it's so important for us to see these amazing parallels. God's people at the very end will again have to flee to the mountains as these things transpire. You could read this in books like Last Day Events. You can read it in many, many different places, that when this time comes, when the time of persecution comes again, place of the United States, God's people will again have to find their solitude, their place of freedom and protection in, get this, in the mountains of the earth, in the scarcely populated places of the earth. And by the way, this is going to be something universal. It's not just going to be in the United States. You see, while during the Dark Ages, the persecution was the majority of the persecution was in Europe, was in Western Europe. Friends, at the end of time, the deception and the persecution will be worldwide. I want to read to you guys a few statements. Speaking of the deceptions of the enemy at the end of time, it says, there is now need of earnest working men and women who will seek for the salvation of souls. For Satan, as a powerful general, has taken the field. And in this last remnant of time, he is working through all conceivable methods to close the door against light that God would have come to his people. He is sweeping, here it is, the whole world into his ranks, And the few who are faithful to God's requirements are the only ones who can ever withstand him. And even these he is trying to overcome. Wow. The forms of the dead will appear through the cunning device of Satan, and many will link up with the one who loves and make it alive. I warn our people that right among us, some will turn away from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And by them the truth will be evil spoken of. A marvelous work shall take place. Ministers, lawyers, doctors who have permitted these falsehoods to overmaster their spirit of discernment will be themselves deceivers. Remember that. Ministers, lawyers, doctors who have permitted these falsehoods to overmaster their spirit of discernment will be themselves deceivers, united with the deceived. A spiritual drunkenness will take possession of them. This time is going to be really intense, friends. This time is going to be so intense. I read about these things and it just blows my mind that a time is coming like this, that a time is coming when God's people will have to be so steadfast in the faith that nothing can move them. Now, as we read these things, friends, God will protect us if we look to him, right? If we turn to him, he will protect us. That's how he protected. Even though some people may die for their faith, friends, that death is not the end, right? God's people will be preserved, and when Christ returns, they will be raised from the dead. So we must trust in Jesus, trust that he will keep us during these times to come as he kept the reformers. All right? So, as we look at this, one of the things that I began to ask myself is, Lord, why is it that people, these men, these brilliant men, ministers, doctors, and lawyers, will be led astray or be deceived? Friends, it's interesting. At the end of Daniel chapter 11, 34, I believe we find an answer as to why this happens. And it mentioned it before a number of times throughout the book of Daniel, 11 specifically, and even other chapters. But the idea of flatteries, it's the idea of flatteries. Notice what it says at the end of Daniel 11, 34. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. All right? Now, I want to read to you a statement just before we go there concerning this help, right? So God will help his people with a little help. It says the persecution, this is found in Great Controversy, page 266 and 267. It says the persecution of the church did not continue throughout the entire period of the 1,260 years. God, in mercy to his people, cut short the time of their fiery trial. In foretelling the great tribulation to befall the church, the Savior said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's Matthew 24:22. A lot of people read Matthew 24:22 and think it's referring to the final time of trouble. But no, friends, when Jesus says in Matthew 24:22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. This is talking about the 1260-year period. It's talking about the 1,260-year period. Through the influence of the Reformation, the persecution was brought to an end prior to 1798. Praise God. But the reason 1798 is so important is because though through the Reformation, the influence of the Reformation, the persecution ended, the papacy still had the civil power connected to it. And so what happened in 1798 is that Napoleon turned against the papal system, and the papal system lost its civil power. So not only did it lose its power to persecute, but it lost the civil power that it used to persecute. Now it says, many shall cleave to them with flatteries. William Miller, in his book Evidence, page 97, states, many men of the world would cleave to them and professedly would flatter the true people of God that they were friendly at least to them. And by these means, Satan carried on his wars against the children of God. So you see what happens here when it says, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, meaning that as the people of God seek to stand through the time of persecution in the 1260-year period, there would be men who would try to persuade the people of God away from the truth by flattering them. Continues in a book by the title of Book of Daniel, written by Taylor Bunch on page 185 and 186. Many joined them under false pretenses. And this happened even in the days of the apostles. People that joined God's people joined the church because it was the new way. But these people were not converted. They actually joined the church in order to bring the church down. Right? It says the most dangerous period of any movement is when its success is assured and the great and the rich of the earth and the officials of the state together with the masses rush into it because, here it is, of its popularity. This was what ruined the early church. You see what we're talking about? So there's a comparison of the church during the reformatory time, the Reformation time, with the early church. That's what happened. This was what ruined the early church during the 3rd and 4th centuries, when Christianity supplanted paganism as its religion, as the religion of the Roman Empire. And emperors, senators, and the officials of the state entered the church fold. The prophecy indicates that Protestantism would succumb to popularity and cease, here it is, to protest. It would compromise with the world and with the papacy and finally speak as a dragon. That's why when those pilgrims fled here, it's no wonder that within a generation there was already dragon speech. There was already slavery. There was already persecution of Native Americans. Friends, it's not even only that. There were religious laws that the Puritans engaged in that were so diabolical and inhumane that you'll realize not just in civil liberties, but in the religious sphere, there was dragon speech. This is why, friends, the United States, it's not just that it will speak as a dragon. It has been speaking as a dragon from its inception. Once Protestantism ceased its protest and forgot the history of its oppression by the papal system, it began to become like the papacy. But the progress of the truth, even in the time of the Reformation, was not free from grave hindrances from within as well as from without. When some princes and men of influence joined the Reformation, many were led to espouse the Reformation doctrine from unworthy motives. In other words, what can I gain from it? Satan corrupted the early church by joining it. He corrupted the Reformation by joining it. That is, by rushing great numbers of unconverted people into it. Satan seems to have devised a method that will corrupt any good cause. He will eventually take over every movement. Here it is. This is what's going to happen at the end. He will eventually take over every movement except the one that results in the sealing of the 144,000. And we're going to see that as we come closer to the book of, to the end of chapter 11. This is very powerful stuff, friends. He will eventually take over every movement, worldwide, international, except the one that results in the sealing, the 144,000. So friends, this is powerful stuff that we're looking at here. Once the devil realizes that outward persecution does not work, he uses the method of infiltration. Once outward persecution does not work, he uses the method of what? Infiltration. And so this is why we must study the parallels of history to know that which is coming. We must study the past to understand the present and that which is coming in the future. Because these things are going to be repeated. And they are being repeated currently. So this is why we must be able to know what's happening, what's going on. Inspiration tells us in special testimony to Battle Creek Church, speaking of the end time conflict, when this situation of persecution is combined with infiltration, once this happens, she states, there can only be two classes. Each party is distinctly stamped, either with the seal of the living God or with the mark of the beast or his image. In the great conflict between faith and unbelief, the whole Christian world will be involved. All will take sides. And friends, I'm seeing that even now. More and more I am seeing this happen. I used to connect even with some friends in a ministry I used to do back at Andrews. And you see some of these friends, and there are times in all of our lives when the devil seeks to bring us to this point where we begin to question, where we begin to question our faith. And yes, our faith should be challenged, for as inspiration tells us, I believe in the book Great Controversy, truth loses nothing by scrutiny. As it is scrutinized intensely, even at times skeptically investigated, it is only proved true. As the truth is investigated, it is only proven true. And so what I'm realizing now, however, is that more and more in this generation, people are beginning to lose faith. I have people who I know who are coming away from Seventh-day Adventism and joining agnostics, or joining the agnostic movement, or the atheist movement. And as they join these movements, or they're joining, let's say, the Hebrew Israelites, or they're beginning to join other movements, Scientology, or they're joining movements that say the universe is God, that's our God, or even worse, we are God, in light of being part of the universe, which is God. All of these different mindsets people are beginning to enter into, leaving the remnant movement to join these movements, or bringing in aspects of these movements that God is saying is contrary to my word. Either they leave or they join it in. And as a result of this, what's happening is that there's a falling away taking place. Praise the Lord, however, as time goes on, the gospel will be given as a witness to the world. And people will be given a choice whether they will join with God's people and stand with them, or stand on the side of apostate religion. Statement continues, some apparently may not engage in the conflict on either side. They may not appear to take sides against the truth, but they will not come out boldly for Christ through fear of losing property or suffering reproach. This is at the end of time, but you remember, this happened during the Dark Ages. All such are numbered with the enemies of God. In other words, those who won't take a bold, and I'm not saying to be rash or to be harsh, but a bold stand for the truth, like Daniel, who was bold and yet tactful, because they're afraid that they will lose property or suffer reproach. She says, all such are numbered with the enemies of God. As we near the close of time, the demarcation between the children of light and the children of darkness will be more and more decided. They will be more and more at variance. The difference is expressed in the words of Christ, born again, created anew in Christ, dead to the world and alive unto God. These are the walls of separation that divide the heavenly from the earthly and describe the difference between those who belong to the world and those who are chosen out of it, who are elect, precious in the sight of God. Friends, it's going to be even at the point where family members are going to be separated. For she continues by saying, those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Malachi 3:17. Those who have been obedient to God's commandments will unite with the company of saints, of the saints in light. They shall enter in through the gates into the city and have a right to the tree of life. the one shall be taken. His name shall stand in the book of life, while those with whom he associated shall have the mark of eternal separation from God. That is written in Testimonies for Ministers and Gospel Workers, page 234 and 235. And so, friends, as we close today, I pray that this makes sense to us. May we not swerve from the truth, friends. May we stand, many Seventh-day Adventists are hesitating to stand on this point, but may we stand against things that relates to oppression, knowing that this nation spoke like a dragon from the beginning, and that it fled, people fled from oppression and came here and continued it. May we stand against the effects of that oppression today. But my call to us is this. In doing so, may we stand against oppression in the context of the present truth. May we not leave this movement at such a time as this. Many of my black friends, in light of seeking to stand for the truth for this time, or I should say in seeking to stand against the injustices that are being done in our day, they have gone all the way and joined religions like, as I mentioned before, the Hebrew Israelites, which is, I would dare say, a Pharisaical religion, a religion that has so many traditions of men, yet seeking to deceive men's minds that they are standing on the word of truth. Friends, don't believe it. And the entire movement being based off of the situation of racism that is transpiring within the nation. Friends, there is a way to stand for it, but the way is not to leave the movement. Friends who are leaving this movement for that movement in droves, people are joining this movement like crazy. And not just that, people are joining the agnostic movement, as I mentioned, and many are becoming atheists. May we be careful not to depart from the Lord of glory at this time, but may we stay connected. I am even including myself, because I know that each and every one of us are facing a warfare in our lives daily. And the only way that we will stand is if we take heed, lest we fall. So I pray that this made sense to us, friends. Let not flattery, infiltration, or persecution outwardly take us away from this faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Let us have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that this made sense, Lord. May we allow you to help us. Know that your help will be abundant. And Lord, may we not be taken away by flatteries, but may we stand for you. May we glorify your holy name, standing among that group delineated in Revelation 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name may we stand. Amen.
Amen, amen. And Brother Akeem, I have questions because, yes, it is very profound that you have studied history and that we have studied also, but you had added a little bit more to it, a lot more to it. The fact that I was taking in some little notes, and when you said that the people fleed from Europe, that was in what year, 1863?
That was 1620, yes, 1620.
It was 1620, they fleed?
Yes, 1620, they came over on the Mayflower ship, yes.
You're breaking up. Are you moving?
Oh, can you hear me?
You're breaking up bad.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you,
but you're
breaking up. You were good earlier.
Let me see here. Let me see if this will help. Let me go downstairs.
It was 16.
Can you hear
20?
Me now?
Oh, I can hear you, but like I said, you're breaking up bad. But what I wanted to say the fact that you have showed us how the people come from Europe to flee, and then when they got here and they had brought on what they were fleeing from, they end up actually practicing it here and putting people under oppression here. And which and I wanted to share those people that they put under pressure is the people that they brought themselves from Spain and from all the countries on ships. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So they bought the black people here in the United States, and they put them into slavery. But what I love what you just said, that when it came to the point, because they had begun to oppress, and God raised up the Adventism, the Pilgrims, to begin to preach, and because they were preaching, preaching for the black people that had begun to be oppressed, and as as the Pilgrims was trying to teach that you're not supposed to put man in slavery or to make no man or to own no man. Everyone belongs to God, but not you're not the owner. So as God, as God used the Pilgrims to be able to preach that gospel, for them not to put no one into oppression or slavery, and them rejecting that message, you say they rejected two things. They reject after they had been oppressed themselves and they became the monster versus the even the monster. And after they start oppressing the people here, they did two things. They didn't accept God's word. They began to teach, they began to practice or like Babylon, or they began to turn away from God. That's what you're saying? Okay, I got to put that on there. They turned away from the Lord.
Right, and they rejected the message of the second coming. Yes, and the message that dealt with freeing men, because the majority of the southern churches, they believed in harboring slaves.
Okay, they reject that. And tell me how that go again. They did what?
The southern churches, they believed in harboring slaves.
Okay, they believe. Okay, in harboring slaves.
So they weren't against it. Yeah, yeah. Hence the reason for the Civil War, because the North was opposed to that.
Okay. So when I heard that, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Because, you know, we're trying to figure out how these things come about. Now, I have one thing for you that I want the sisters and brothers to understand, and I'm hoping they understand along with my understanding. Now, I have one thing that I was reading earlier, and I'm going to read what Spirit of Prophecy says in this. And I want you to hear it. And we're going to be ending, brothers and sisters, but I want to read what Spirit of Prophecy says here, and I want Brother Akeem to. You don't have to give me an answer, but you can study it, and then you can come back with an answer for us.
Okay,
I'm reading from God's Amazing Grace, Exalt God's Law. Boy. Okay, you are you familiar with that book? God's Amazing Grace, Exalt God's Law.
Okay,
I want to read this to you right quick. It says, receive. She said, receive, I pray thee, the law from this mouth. And lay up his words in thine heart. Everything in nature, from the moat and the Sabine to the world on high, is under law, and upon obedience to these laws, the order and harmony of the nature world depends. So there are great principles of righteousness to control the life of all intelligent beings. And upon the conformity to these principles, the well-being of the universe depends. Before this earth was called into being, God's law existed. Angels are governed by its principles. And in order for earth to be in harmony with heaven, man must also the divine statutes. To man in Eden, Christ made known the precepts of the law. When the morning stars sung together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So I'm going to stop right there. And I want you to help me understand, man must also obey the divine statutes. Do you understand? As I read and Sister Corla read earlier in Deuteronomy, it said man should obey God's commandments, statutes, and judgment. God command that. But I'm hearing from many of the church people that the statutes has been done away with Christ, you know, at the death of Christ, and because all that were things to be, it's done away with. But I read a couple of things that was in that statutes that, and I want to ask you, I'm just asking you a question to be able to bring this out. Bring it out, and you don't have to answer none this week. You can go back. I have one law, bestiality, and I'm going to read you the verse. I'm not reading anything from my word. I'm reading from God's word, bestiality. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 19. I'm asking these questions. Should these things be taught? Exodus 22 and verse 19. He say, whosoever lie with a beast shall be put to death. Now, we know that Christ did, he died for our sins. He asked us to forsake our sins, turn away. Man don't be put to death for his sins anymore. Man have to turn away from his sins and just, you know, and not do this no more, ask Christ for forgiveness. And then I have another one. You know, these statutes that I'm reading to you, I'm asking questions because, you know, just as you said earlier, we should stand firm on God's word. We should be bold. We can't be scared of no man because God said, if you teach and do these things, he said, you will be called great. You will be great in heaven. So, but it's not about just being great. It's about being the right in the word of God, knowing what this word says. Now, I want to read one more to you. It talks about polygamy. I'm not going to read all of them because I know you're familiar. It talks about polygamy. And it also talks about interbreeding, mixing animals, mixing seeds. Are these things a sin? The Bible says we're not to do these things, okay? And, of course, and it got many others that's not lined up in the Ten Commandments because I read all the Ten Commandments. And most of these laws don't say that. Okay, do we talk about bestiality? Do we talk about an animal in the Ten Commandments? No, it doesn't.
No, you're saying no,
So that's what I want you to answer for me. Is God's word is still binding? As the spirit of prophecy says, this is the most important thing, to keep this statutes. So you can answer, and we are listening. It has more, but I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to cut it there. So
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, yeah, so no, those are definitely, and that's something I would bring to you guys in a study maybe next week, as you had mentioned. And one of the things to keep in mind, and you brought it out, is the aspect of Christ's death does away, and let me say it this way, it does away with certain laws. The reason I say certain is because those certain laws are connected to certain aspects of the ceremonial law. So, for example, the Sabbaths. There were seven Sabbaths or feast days that were connected to the ceremonial laws. And all those were done away with in the sense that they were fulfilled in Christ. However, we know as an end-time movement, they have spiritual significance still. So we don't have to go around sacrificing animals and things like that, but there's spiritual significance. For example, the feast called the Day of Atonement, that has been done away with. But the spiritual relevance is still there because we're living in the antitypical Day of Atonement. And so each feast day was a symbol of something that Christ would do in his earthly and heavenly ministry. That's one aspect. But there's another aspect in the sense that there were certain laws of Moses, even in the ceremonial laws, that were not done away with. And that's one of them that you just touched on. For example, one of them that you just touched on was the aspect of bestiality. Evangelical Christians even understand this as it concerns putting piercings on the skin or putting tattoos on the skin. They use some of these texts at the same time saying that the law was done away with. So their aspects, what we'll cover and we'll see it from both the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, is that there are aspects of civility dealing with civil laws, and there are aspects of cleanliness, and there are aspects of the moral commandments, which is the Ten Commandments, and there are aspects of the health laws, all encompassed in Moses' writings that are still applicable to us today. But the thing is, we have to compare the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy to see what are the statutes, commandments, and judgments that are still applicable and those which are not applicable. There's a statement from Ellen White which says that had the United States followed the principles that were connected to the Jubilee that the Jews experienced every 49 years, she said that it will bring to such a degree, it will, if it were followed, it would actually to a great degree eliminate the poverty within our nation. She actually says that. Mm. So there are laws that should be followed, but here's the catch. The laws must now be followed. The difference is the laws must now be followed in a different way, and you highlighted it earlier, because now we are no longer under a theocracy. We are under a republic. Being under a theocracy where God is leading, men and women can be executed for not following these laws. However, we are not, and you gave another reason as well for the sacrifice of Christ. But on the other hand as well, because we are living in a republic, it is not, unless it's something intensely extreme, it is not our work to people as they were under a theocracy in Old Testament Israel. So there are differences.
That's right.
Right? But I could touch on that. I can make a study and we'll go over that as well. That's a very good question that you asked.
Okay. Okay. All right then. Well, thank you, Brother Akeem. We will close and we thank you for your the word that God has given to you, and we just thank you for blessing us tonight and sharing that extra information, and especially breaking down our history because we need to study. And it's some things I would like to call you. I'm going to call you and talk to you about, because I don't want to go any longer. So we just want to thank you for tonight, continually to bless you, increase your knowledge. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to allow Brother Akeem to leave and thank him for what he has brought to us. So we thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing. And I hope that God has blessed you to understand what he has given to us. So he will bring more information to us on another day, as he say he will bring this study to us so we can know more or learn more. Amen. So I'm going to close out, and I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, have a good night, and may God bless you, and have a good night's sleep. Amen. So good night.